Now, contrary to our usual habit of starting the show with some funny messing around from Peter Cook and Private Eye, we've given you a truer version of Vivaldi's Winter Largo with Itzhak Perlman playing. I thought it was more suitable. I don't feel like making all that sort of funny drollery this morning. But you're listening to Evening Under Lamplight on Cambridge 105 Community Radio in your city, and I'm Robert Louis Abrahamson, and I invite you to attend as we do not continue with Dante's Inferno. We're not doing Dante this time. We're taking a wee break. Before I go further, we want to give a special thanks to the Art Institute of Philadelphia, the Media Studies Studio, with the guys in the studio with me, as they allow me to pre-record this show here. It's early in the morning, and it's up, and it's being recorded, pre-recorded, on a morning when we all just want to hide in bed. All plans are changed. This is the day after the American election, so we're all walking around in a bit of a stunned stupor, though this sort of sense of realizing that what we dreaded has come to be, and we have to deal with it for real. The weather suits the mood here in Philadelphia. It's chilly and wet, and it's a true November day here. So we'll put Dante aside, because this is also a celebratory episode. It is the 150th episode of Evening Under Lamplight. So I was going to plan all sorts of festivities for this, but I don't entirely feel like it. Rather than celebrate, maybe we should be doing more of consoling. But we'll see what we can do as we face this new, scary, challenging world ahead of us. Is it too obscene to talk about presidential election races? But here's one from 1956, when, to sort of highlight the absurdity of the whole event, Walt Kelly, who created the cartoon, the comic strip Pogo, decided that Pogo, this little sweet little possum, was going to run for president. And here's his campaign song. It's called Go Go Pogo, and it's Walt Kelly himself singing it. It's an exciting song, and it's a kind of catalog of all these different places across America that they could be funny about then, and it's maybe not so funny now. But it's a pick-me-up song, and we all need that. Let's go.
So Pogo go, Kila ha ha go, Patsy go, to Frisco go, to Fargo. Oh, keep an okey playing, a possum on a pogo. Stick around and see the show. Go overland alive, a band of jive will blow. Go pogo, I go, you go, who go, to go, Polly boo go. From Caravan Diego, a Wico and a Swago, to Italy he go, she go, we go, me go, pogo. A Tascadero, Wheel of Power, someplace in Mexico, Delaware, Ohio, and you don't need the text to go. Wheel in West Virginia, with everything that's in ya. Down the line, you'll see the shine from Oregon to Caroline. Kinny, beanie, miny, cooka, mogo, pogo. Chichamingo, sing those lingo, whistling go. Chamokin' to Hoboken, Chenango to Chicago. It's golly, I go, 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 and go, go, pogo. Escadero, Wheelabara, someplace in Mexico, Delaware, Ohio, you don't need the text to go. Wheel in West Virginia, with everything that's in ya. Down the line, you'll see the shine from Oregon to Carolina. Oh, yeeny, meeny, miny, pokamoga, pogo. Tisha, mingo, sing those lingo, whistling, go. Shamokin to Hoboken, Shenango to Chicago. It's Cali, I go, 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 and go, go, pogo.
That was Walt Kelly and Go Go Pogo, as you could have guessed. Next, we're going to bring in the hero we've all been waiting for. And you could take this straight as being about some great savior that will change the whole world, or you can take it as ironic about some only self-professed great savior. But in any case, we're going to hear Manfred Mann bringing us the Mighty Quinn. It's a call to us all, without and within. Everybody's building ships and boats. It's all this busyness. But everybody's in despair. Every girl and boy. But when Quinn the Eskimo gets here, whoever he is, when Quinn the Eskimo gets here, everybody's going to jump for joy. So we pick ourselves up and head towards that Mighty Quinn. Nobody can get no sleep. There's someone on everyone's toes, but when Quinn the Eskimo gets here, everybody's going to want to doze.
Everybody's gonna jump for joy. Come on. The pigeon's gonna run to him. Come on without. Gets here, everybody's gonna wanna doze. Come on without.
That was Manfred Mann, The Mighty Quinn. It's a Bob Dylan song, as you all know. I think this is a much more upbeat version and more exciting version than anything Dylan did. I don't think he ever did a polished version of it anyway. So besides The Mighty Quinn, let's find another hero, or rather heroine. And, hadn't thought about that. This may have overtones, but this is a song we've played before. It's a Billy Connolly song, and it is one of my little favorites from television, and it's Super Gran from the television show that you may remember. She makes them look like a bunch of fairies. She's got more bottle than United Dairies. Hang about, look out for Super Gran. And then this line that I think he's saying, after her, they're all big girls' blouses. Anyway, she's got more front than a row of houses. Hang about, look out for Super Gran.
She makes them look like Nothing that she can't do.
Hang about, look out for Super Grand.
The Americans in the audience here, I don't think know who Billy Connolly is, but they do now. They do now. Now we move down from Glasgow, I suppose, to Cambridge. And Robin Hitchcock, I don't think we've ever played a Robin Hitchcock song before on Evening Under Lamplight. But here's one, just in case you or them or our Mighty Quinn or Super Gran has got some sort of problems. We should try to correct these things and correct them early. Because uncorrected personality traits, that's the title of the song, uncorrected personality traits can cause a lot of problems. Correct them when the kids are young, even though they look cute, correct them. Here we have orthodox psychology turned into absurdity, and it's always healthy, I suppose, to play with such sacred paradigms. We'll just play the song, you can hear it. I think it's quite clear. Though he speaks very fast. It's more of a speaking song than a singing song, maybe.
Uncorrected personality traits that seem whimsical in a child may prove to be ugly in a fully grown adult. Lack of involvement with the father or over-involvement with the mother can result in lack of ability to relate to sexual beasts. And in homosexual leanings, narcissism, transsexuality, girls from the waist up, men from the waist down, attempts to be your own love object. Reconcile your parents to you by becoming both at once. Even Marilyn Monroe was a man, but this tends to get overlooked by our mother-fixated, overweight, sexist media. So, uncorrected personality traits that seem whimsical in a child may prove to be ugly in a fully grown adult. If you give in to them every time they cry, they will become little tyrants, but they won't remember why. Then when they are thwarted by people in later life, they will become psychotic and they won't make an ideal husband or wife. The spoiled baby grows into the escapist teenager who's the adult alcoholic who's the middle-aged suicide. Oi, so uncorrected personality traits that seem whimsical in a child may prove to be ugly in a fully grown adult.
Okay, well, that was Robin Hitchcock with uncorrected personality traits. They may seem whimsical in a child, but they may prove to be ugly in a full-grown adult. So what's the point? Do we become suspicious of any whimsical behavior in our kids? do we just keep worried about doing everything right? Or not? Or not? How do you take this song? Well, that was a little absurdity, as I said, about psychological anxieties. Here's another kind of absurdity, entirely different. This is childish whimsicality. It is certainly childish. It's Barry Humphreys, who made a career out of being childish as Dame Edna Everidge. But here's an early Barry Humphreys from I'm pretty sure, the film Barry McKenzie, which was, I don't know, the later 60s? I can't remember. But he sings that song there, and it's called Chunder in the Old Pacific Sea. This is very offensive to polite society. He's trying to throw in or throw up as many different Australian expressions for throwing up as he can. Chunder is, at least he explains it elsewhere, as being a phrase used by the immigrants going over to Australia, getting seasick and leaning on the side of the boat and yelling below, "Watch out under," as they're sick into the sea. Get it? It's not a little puerile. It is very puerile. It's a little boy's song or a little girl's song. And that's why we're playing it. If we can't take that, we better pack up and go home. So here we are, Chunder in the Old Pacific Sea.
I was down by Bondi Pier, drinking tubes of ice-cold beer, with a bucket full of prawns upon me knee. But when I'd swallowed the last prawn, I had a technicolour yawn, and I chundered in the old Pacific Sea. Drink it up, drink it up, crack another dozen tubes and prawns with me. If you have to throw your voice, mate, you won't have any choice but to chunder in the old Pacific Sea. I was sitting in the surf when a mate of mine called Murph asked if he could crack a tube or two with me. The bastard barely swallowed it when he went for the big spit, and he chundered in the old Pacific Sea. Drink it up, come on, drink it up, crack another dozen tubes and prawns with me. If you have to throw your voice, mate, you won't have any choice but to chunder in the old Pacific Sea. I've had liquid laughs in bars, and I've hurled from moving cars, and I've chuckled when and where it suited me. But if I could choose a spot to regurgitate me lot, then I'd chunder in the old Pacific Sea. Oh, drink it up, drink it up, crack another dozen tubes and prawns with me. If you have to throw your voice, mate, you won't have any choice but to chunder in the old Pacific Sea. Excuse I.
Excuse I? Of course we will. Here's me reading another piece, and this is a story by Richard Kennedy called The Porcelain Man. She's a humdrum girl in a different sense. She's got a domineering father, and she sits daydreaming. But notice that it is through the daydreaming that she becomes creative and creates just what is right for her at any given moment. This is an early recording I made, I don't know how many years ago, at Neil Henry's, well, in his bedroom, actually, with a makeshift studio. But he did a fairly good job of it, and I'm pleased to resuscitate it from the past. Here it is, Richard Kennedy, The Porcelain Man. The Porcelain Man by Richard Kennedy. Once upon a time, at the edge of town, lived a harsh man with a timid daughter who had grown pale and dreamy from too much obedience. The man kept the girl busy and hardly ever let her go out of doors. "You're lucky to be inside where it's safe and sound," he would say to her. "It's dog-eat-dog out there. The world is full of bottle-snatchers, rag-mongers, and rat-robbers. Believe you me." The girl believed him. Each morning, the man left the house in his rickety wagon, pulled by his rackety horse. All day long, he would go up and down the streets of the town, into the countryside and to neighboring villages, to find what he could find. He would bring home old broken wheels, tables and chairs with the legs gone from them, pots and pans with holes in them, scraps of this and pieces of that. His daughter would then mend and repair the junk during her long and lonely days inside the house, and the man would take the things away and sell them as second-hand goods. This is the way they lived. One morning, the man left the house and gave his daughter his usual instruction and warning. "If someone passes on the road, stay away from the windows. If someone knocks, don't answer." "I could tell you terrible stories." Then he left, and the girl began to work on a broken lantern. Now this morning, some good luck happened to the man. As he was passing a rich man's house, a clumsy kitchen maid chased two cats out the front door with a broom and knocked over a large porcelain vase. The vase rolled out the door and down the steps and path and shattered to pieces against a marble pillar near the roadway. The man stopped and watched. The maid closed the door. The man waited there for 10 minutes. No one came out. Then he leaped down from his cart and gathered up the broken porcelain. He set the pieces gently in his cart and hurried off toward home. His daughter, as usual, was safe and sound inside. "This is fine porcelain," the man said. "Drop whatever you're doing and patch it up. We'll get a good price for it." It was early in the day yet, so the man left again to see what else he might find. He remembered to pause at the door and say, "Stay inside. Terrible things are going on out there. Dog eat dog, the devil take the hindmost," and so forth. And then he left. The girl turned a piece of porcelain in her fingers, admiring its beauty. She carefully laid the pieces on a blanket and got out the glue. Then, humming to herself and musing on fanciful thoughts in the way she had acquired from being so much alone, she began to put the pieces of porcelain together. She worked quickly and neatly, even though her thoughts were completely elsewhere, and at the end of a couple of hours she was amazed to see that she had just set the last piece in a place on a full-sized porcelain man. And at that moment, the porcelain man spoke. "I love you," he said, taking a step toward the girl. "Gracious," gasped the girl, snatching up the blanket and throwing it about the man. "Gracious," she gasped again as the porcelain man encircled her in his arms and kissed her. While this was happening, the girl's father returned to the house. And right at this moment, he opened the door to the room. "Whoa!" he bellowed. Grabbed a chair, raised it above his head, and brought it down squarely on top of the head of the porcelain man with a blow that shattered him from head to toe, and the porcelain pieces scattered over the floor. "God almighty," the man cried, "I fractured his skull." The girl let out a wail, and the man dropped to his knees, stunned with the catastrophe. But the girl explained that it had not been a real man, but only one made of the porcelain. "Porcelain man that could move? And he could talk as well," said the girl. "Fantastic," said the man. "Quick, put him together again before you forget how you did it. I'll make a cage for him and take him to the county fair. I'll charge $1 to see him. He can learn to dance. I'll make a big sign saying, 'See the dancing pot,' or something like that. I'll make thousands. Quick, put him together again." So the girl collected the pieces on the blanket and slowly began gluing them together again. Her father sat down and watched her for a while, but he found it to be boring and he dropped off to sleep. The girl worked on, very sad that the porcelain man would be taken away in a cage. She was so distressed by her thoughts that she did not notice until putting the last piece in place that she had built a small porcelain horse. And the horse neighed. The man woke up. "What's that?" he said. "That's no man, that's a horse. Now you'll just have to do it all over again. And this time, concentrate." Saying this, the man took up the chair over his head so as to smash the horse. But the horse said to the girl, "Quickly, jump on my back." She did, and in a second the horse leaped out the window with the girl, and they galloped across the countryside as the man stood waving the chair at them through the window and shouting words they could not hear. After running for several miles, the horse stopped in a small meadow, in the center of which stood a tree. "Get down," said the horse. The girl did. "Now," said the horse, "I will run into the tree and break myself to pieces, and then you are to put me back together as a man again." Then the horse added, "Remember, I love you." And before the girl could say a word, the horse dashed toward the tree and crashed into it at full gallop and broke into hundreds of pieces. The girl cried out and then sat down under the tree and wept, for she had no glue. Now, on a path nearby came along a young man pushing a wheelbarrow. He stopped when he saw the girl by the tree and went to comfort her. "Don't cry," he said. "Here, let us gather up the pieces and put them in the wheelbarrow. Come along with me and we'll fix everything almost as good as new." So they loaded up the broken porcelain, and they went to the man's cottage and spread the pieces out on a blanket. "It must have been a beautiful set of dishes," said the man, and he began to glue some pieces together. They talked as they worked and told each other all about themselves. The girl admired how well and quickly the man worked with his hands, and in a short while they had put together 12 dishes, 8 saucers and teacups, 6 bowls, 2 large serving platters, a milk pitcher, and 2 small vases. They cooked supper then. Their eyes met often as they moved about. Now and again their hands touched, and they brushed against each other, going to and fro. They set the table with the porcelain ware, and when they were eating, the girl's plate whispered up at her, "I still love you." "Hush," she said. "I beg your pardon," the man said. "Oh, nothing," said the girl. And they lived happily ever after. Richard Kennedy, The Porcelain Man. It's a fairy tale with a happy ending, sort of. I mean, there's still that secret lover, even though he's only a set of dishes now. "I still love you," he says. It's all very complicated. I mean, it's a dog-eat-dog world, as her father tells her, and his way of dealing with it is to keep her very well protected. And I suppose he hasn't bothered to correct any of her uncorrected personality traits, but that's his problem. She gets out of it by using her creativity. Oh, by the way, you're listening to Evening Under Lamplight with me, Robert Louis Abrahamson, on Cambridge 105.
When the day comes to an end, he invites you to attend Evening Under Lamplight. It's Cambridge 105. Community radio in your city.
But life isn't easy, and it is complicated, and I think we'll spend a few minutes now talking about hearing songs about how to deal with life's complication. And when we talk about life's complication, we must go to the Kinks, who's spent at least half of their songs talking about dealing with the craziness of the world or the craziness within themselves. And I want to play you the song Complicated Life from the 1971 album Muswell Hillbillies, which is the album to go crazy to if life is getting too much for you. go to Muswell Hillbillies. That's the place. It's a great album. There's so many good songs. This one's called Complicated Life. It's a kind of boozy sing-along from down at the pub when you're trying to drown your problems. See, he just tries to make his life less complicated. I cut down women. I cut down booze. I stopped ironing my shirt. I stopped cleaning my shoes. This is when you get insane like this, you just ramble on and on and on. You can't control yourself. I'll start this again and we'll go through it. I cut down women. I cut down booze. I stopped ironing my shirt. I stopped cleaning my shoes. I stopped going to work. I stopped reading the news. I sit and twiddle my thumbs because I got nothing to do. Minimal exercise to help uncomplicate my life. Gotta stand and face it, he says. Life is so complicated. I got holes in my shoes, I got holes in my socks. I can't go to work because I can't get a job. The bills are rising sky high. It's such a complicated life. Life is overrated. Life is complicated. must alleviate this complicated life. See, it's a kind of song that is both really pathetic and really sorrowful and yet also comic because of the way he plays around so much. And I think that's a very useful thing for us, especially right now, because it exercises our deep sorrow and fears and anxieties, but it also opens our heart with the humor and leaves us, I think, in a pretty good position. So thank you, Ray Davies and the Kinks, for Complicated Life. So if that's the response to life not being easy, just to pour your heart out like that, and there's another way to deal with it. And you can have a revivalist song, and that's what we want to do. No more boozing in the pub. We're now over with our dear friends at Fraggle Rock, telling us that easy is the only way to go. It's, as I say, revivalist song. It says, I found the way to live on Easy Street. Easy Street meaning lots of money, but that's not what it means on this song. We found the way to live on Easy Street. No more troubles, no more cares or woe. Oh, happy day, it's made our lives complete. 'Cause easy is the only way to go. Take it easy.
We found the way to live on Easy Street. No more troubles, no more cares and woe. Oh, happy day, it's made our lives complete. 'Cause easy is the only way to go. Look away, way to go. Let me hear somebody. We found the way.
Rock, easy is the only way to go. Well, what does easy mean? I suppose it means take it easy. And that reminds me of this lovely little poem by Langston Hughes called Motto. I play it cool and dig all jive. That's the way I stay alive. My motto, as I live and learn, is dig and be dug in return. But here's a little softer approach to this problem. And it's been going through my head for the past week or two, so why not put it on the show here? And it's appropriate. It's our old friend Kinky Friedman, and I think we've played this before on the show. It's called When the Lord Closes the Door, He Opens a Little Window. It's a kind of a hymn, but with a Kinky Friedman twist to it. He says, I'm old enough to realize or young enough to know when the Lord closes the door, He opens a little window. So I suppose you have to be old enough to be wise to realize, and through your experience, there's always been a little window if you're alert to it. Or maybe you're young enough to know this, because the innocence of childhood, despite the uncorrected personality traits, the innocence of childhood can let you know that there is a benevolent universe around us. So let's hear Kinky Friedman. When the Lord closes the door, He opens a little window.
Mm-hmm. myself alone in my house and in my head, and I blow the candles out and I take myself to bed, and I'm old enough to realize, I'm young enough to know that when the Lord closes the door, and I'm feeling blue as the sky without your love to carry me through. And I'm weak enough to be afraid, but strong enough to let it show. When the Lord closes the door,
it's always good to have Kinky Friedman on the show. He's both mocking and quite heartfeltly serious. Well, now I've got to bring in some other favorites, and here is Robert Louis Stevenson, and it's a very interesting thing. What we're going to do is play a piece that he wrote, actually, and it's called Aberlady Lynx. And this is Aberlady Lynx, and I think it's got the kind of sober yet light touch that is appropriate for this morning. And after that, I will read his poem, If This Were Faith, which I've for many years have been promoting as a great poem that we should all pay attention to. And it is about how to keep going in the face of failure and despair and messiness and all the complications of life. So we will do Aberlady Lynx, then If This Were Faith, and I think we'll follow that with Aberlady Lynx again, because it's a very short piece. Thank you. God, if this were enough, that I see things bare to the buff and up to the buttocks in mire, that I ask nor hope nor higher, nut in the husk, nor dawn beyond the dusk, nor life beyond death, God, if this were faith. Having felt thy wind in my face spit sorrow and disgrace, having seen thine evil doom in Golgotha and Khartoum, and the brutes, the work of thine hands, fill with injustice lands and stain with blood the sea, if still in my veins the glee of the black night and the sun and the lost battle run, if an adept the iniquitous lists I still accept with joy, and joy to endure and be withstood, and still to battle and perish for a dream of good. God, if that were enough. If to feel in the ink of the slough and the sink of the mire, veins of glory and fire run through and transpierce and transpire, and a secret purpose of glory in every part, and the answering glory of battle fill my heart. To thrill with the joy of girded men, to go on forever and fail and go on again, and be mauled to the earth and arise and contend for the shade of a word and a thing not seen with the eyes, with the half of a broken hope for a pillow at night, that somehow the right is the right and the smooth shall bloom from the rough. Lord, if that were enough. And we're coming up to the end of the show now, and we couldn't have a show, as you all know, without Bob Dylan. And the song I wanted to play this time is Mississippi. It's from his bootleg album, Telltale Signs. You don't mind. It's a song of loss and consolation. The consolation comes from accepting the suffering. He's not running away, and he's not being funny about it. He's accepting that that's the way it is. And I ain't got nothing for you. I ain't got nothing before. There's so many things we never will undo. I know you're sorry. I'm sorry, too. And then the destruction of all that's valuable. Well, my ship's been split to splinters. It's sinking fast. I'm drowning in the poison. Got no future. Got no past. Well, that means he's living right now in the moment. And in a way, that's your salvation. Got no future. Got no past. But, there's the but my heart is not weary. It's light and it's free. I've got nothing but affection for them who sail with me. Everybody's moving if they ain't already there. Everybody got to move somewhere. Stick with me, baby. Anyhow, things should start to get interesting right about now, and you know they are.
Step of the way, we walk the line. Your days are numbered, so are mine. Time is piling up, we struggle and we scrape. All boxed in, nowhere to escape. City's just a jungle, more games to play. We're trapped in the heart of it, trying to get away. I was raised in the country, been working in the town. Been in trouble since I set my suitcase down. Ain't got nothing for you, had nothing before. Don't even have anything for myself anymore. Sky's full of fire and the pain is pouring down. There's nothing you can sell me, I'll see you around. My powers of expression and thoughts so sublime, they'd never do you justice in reason or rhyme. Only one thing I did wrong, stayed in Mississippi a day too long. Like a stranger nobody sees. So many things we never will undo. I know you're sorry, I'm sorry too. Some people will offer you their hand and some won't. Last night I knew you, tonight I don't. I need something strong to distract my mind. I'm gonna look at you till my eyes go blind. I got here following the southern star. I crossed that river just to be where you are. Only one thing I did wrong, stayed in Mississippi a day too long. Ship's been split to splinters, it's sinking fast. I'm drowning in the poison, got no future, got no past. But my heart is not weary, it's light and it's free. I got nothing but affection for the move, sail with me. Everybody's moving, if they ain't already there. Everybody's about to move somewhere. Stick with me, baby, anyhow. Things should start to get interesting right about now. My clothes are wet, tight on my skin, not as tight as the corner that I've painted myself in. I know that fortune is waiting to be kind, so give me your hand and say you'll be mine. The emptiness is endless, cold as the clay. Can always come back, but you can't come back all the way. only one thing I did wrong. Stayed in Mississippi a day too long.
How did this emptiness come about? He only did one thing wrong. He stayed in Mississippi a day too long, whatever that means. But it doesn't matter how it occurred. As Leonard Cohen says, don't take the coward's explanation that hides behind the cause and effect. Don't work out too much about how it happened. It's happened. Now just keep hold of the moment. And try to have nothing but affection for those who sail with you. Things should start to get interesting right about now. But right about now, it's time to say goodnight from me, Robert Louis Abrahamson, on Evening Under Lamplight at Cambridge 105. Goodnight.